This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We all learned about the founding fathers back in grade school, right? Washington, Adams, Franklin, and the gang, and how they started a new nation founded on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Or maybe they just snuck all that stuff in over the border when nobody was looking. Peter Andreas teaches at Brown University. His new book is called Smuggler Nation: How Illicit Trade Made America. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So it occurs to me as I read this book that we've been cheating from the very beginning on smuggling and everything. I mean, that's how this nation started.
Absolutely, yet we so often forget it.
When did we become a nation that worried about this kind of thing? I mean, obviously in the late 1700s, early 1800s, smuggling was groovy because that's the way we started. But when did it become this thing that was bad somehow?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, before the revolution, it was groovy in the sense that you were ripping off the crown.
Yeah.
But as soon as the country was its own country, the federal government actually, that's when they started worrying about smuggling because they couldn't actually collect any revenue. So it was really important to re-socialize merchants, if you will.
You know, it's funny because we now regard ourselves as a bastion of the protection of intellectual property. But what I hear you saying is we started as hackers, basically.
That's one way to put it. Another way to put it is the message to the world, China especially, is do as I say, not as I did.
Yeah.
Right? Frankly, the United States was a hotbed, probably the world's leading hotbed of intellectual piracy in the 19th century. And it was, of course, industrial technologies, but it was also copyright. I mean, people like Charles Dickens were outraged when they visited the United States and discovered that all their stuff had been ripped off. It's not that different in some ways from today's Hollywood producers being upset that their films make it immediately to the black market in China and Mexico and elsewhere. It was only when the United States had its own intellectual property protect, people like Mark Twain, for example,
mm-hmm.
wanting the U.S. to basically, you know, agree to some international standards and so on, that we actually got serious about this. And then the United States became the champion of intellectual property rights, forgetting its own past.
You talk actually about the customs office being the single most important office in the government because that's how we got revenue, right? By keeping an eye on trade and how we had to train people that tariffs and customs were okay.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about this country as a place that's allergic to the very idea of big government, you actually look back and see that one of the founding pillars of the federal government was, in fact, the Customs Service, because you can't have an existing government, however small or large, unless you have revenue. And back then, the main form of revenue was collecting a small tax on trade, like 5%.
There will always be smuggling, won't there?
Always has been, always will be. As long as some sort of trade restrictions or border controls are imposed. And so it's something we have to manage and live with and deal with. But the point of the book is not freak out about and have sort of alarmist hyperbolic rhetoric to suggest that somehow we're dealing with an unprecedented, fundamentally new threat to the country and the world.
Peter Andreas is a professor of political science at Brown University. His new book is called Smuggler Nation. Peter, thanks a bunch.
Thank you for having me.